May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and redeemer. Amen. Well, I had Father Bob read the same gospel that Bishop's been using because I'm going to shop at Bishop's store just a little bit. We'll talk a little bit about just that reading, but then I'm going to springboard from there. Because I don't know about you, but once you get this revelation of what it is to be in Christ, once you get the understanding that in Christ is the central truth of the gospel, it changes everything. It changes how you understand Scripture. It changes how you read Scripture. It changes how you see your brother and your sister. It changes your mouth. It changes your heart. Amen. So we know that in that gospel reading that we're not talking about mansions. Someday, I'm sure the houses in heaven are great, but that's not what the Scripture's talking about. He's talking about the abiding place. He's talking about in Christ. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. Where I go now, you can't go. He went to the Father to prepare a place. What is that? He went to the cross so that he could prepare the place in himself for you. And he's got room for all of you. In my Father's house are many abiding places. That is in Christ. We are to abide in him and he in us. Man, that changes how you read Scripture. So I was reading in Colossians. And I was meditating this morning. This thing came up in me that I used to talk about when I was going to Bible school and in other charismatic circles and things like that, of put yourself in remembrance of what God's done. You know, sometimes we get really distracted by our circumstance. We get distracted by what's going on around us or what we're facing, whatever challenge, whatever this present trouble is. And we take our eyes off Jesus and we focus on what we're going through. Lord, have mercy. Don't let your circumstance distract you from who you are in Christ. Because what you're facing changes nothing about who he is. It does not change the truth about who he is, the truth about who he is in you, or the truth about who you are in Christ. So I'm going to read from the first chapter of Colossians here, and then we're just going to chew on some of this stuff. There's so much meat on this bone about being in Christ, that he went to the Father to prepare a place that where he is, we might be also. We're in him. Colossians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He's recognizing their identity, their true identity. It's not Bob and Sue and Frank and them. It's my brother in Christ. Because Bob's in Christ. Sue's in Christ, right? So he's recognizing their position in the kingdom. And faithful brethren in Christ who are at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, where does your faith need to be? In Christ Jesus. If you've got faith placed somewhere else, it's not going to do you any good. Faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints. They'll know we are Christians by our love, right? Because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard, there goes the microphone, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, just as in all the world, also it is constantly bearing fruit and increasing. The gospel cannot be stopped. Whew. What is the gospel? The gospel is the word of God. Who is the word of God? It's Jesus. The word was made flesh, incarnate for us. He was the word from the beginning, we'll see a little later in the chapter, that spoke everything into being. He created all things. Don't you know that when God speaks, that word continues forever? When he said, light be, this universe to this day, scientifically you can prove out, is expanding at the speed of light in every direction. Because the word of God does not return to him void. Now how does that work with Jesus, right? If Jesus is the word of God, the Father sent him forth. He did not return to the Father void, but he returned to him with you and you and you and you in him. Wow, that's extra. That just happened. So, constantly bearing fruit and ever increasing, even as it has been doing in you since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth. What is that grace of God? You have a place in Christ. Just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow bondservant, who is a faithful servant of Christ on our behalf, And he also informed us of your love in the Spirit. You see, if you walk in Christ, people are going to talk about it. They're going to go, wow, that guy's filled with love and joy. In the midst of the way that person treated them and they responded that way, that's different. See, your witness is important.
Yes.
But your witness is not you doing something to get something. Your witness is the fruit of where you live, which is in Christ.
Amen.
For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we've not ceased to pray for you. Get this. And to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now understand the order in which that's happening. You see, we as men, historically, religion is about man trying to get to God. But beloved, Christianity is about God coming to you. He was looking for you. He reconciled you. You could not reconcile yourself. That's why he came. If there was any other way, it wouldn't have happened the way it did. But listen to the way Paul puts this. We've been praying that you will be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Notice that comes before walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. You see, we get it backwards. We say we've got to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good works, and increasing in the knowledge of God. We take verse 10 and we make that our formula to get to verse 9. And that's not the way it came. It's not about what you did for God. It's about what God did for you. You are able and empowered to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord because you've been given the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Because you've been placed into Christ, seated with him in heavenly places, given all spiritual blessing, all is a big word. If you do a word study and you study it out, you're going to find out it means all. It means everything. All spiritual blessings in Christ.
Amen.
So your good works, your walking worthy, and your bearing fruit in the knowledge and increasing in the knowledge of God comes after he's placed you in Christ. So put yourself in remembrance of what God did for you. Amen. Whew. Strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. Whose might? His might.
Yes.
Strengthen all power according to his might. I don't know about you, but his might's a lot bigger than mine. So I've come to a place in my life where I'm just not going to do it by my strength anymore. It's exhausting. You'll wear out. You'll burn out. You'll burn up. Strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. For the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us. Hello? The Father has qualified you.
Yes. Yes.
He's qualified you to share in the inheritance of the lights, the saints in light. Let me say it again because I tripped over it. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Hallelujah.
Yes, hallelujah.
How dare we walk around saying, woe is me, and it's so bad, and it's gloom, despair, and misery. Oh, hee-haw days, remember? Gloom, despair, and misery on me. No. No, no, no. You've been seated in heavenly places. You've been placed into the one who spoke all things into being.
Amen.
The God who became small for us, that we might become large in him.
Wow.
He goes on to talk about this Christ. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness. You didn't crawl out of the pit. You didn't raise yourself up by your bootstraps and gird up your loins. No, he rescued you out of the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Oh, who did that? He did that. He transferred you. The Father transferred you to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. Which came first? Was your sin forgiven before you were transferred into Christ, or were you forgiven when you were transferred into Christ? But the way I'm reading this, he reconciled you to himself, not counting your sins against you. Mm. It's being in Christ that cleansed you from sin. We are in a world of people, full of people who the Father has placed in His Son, and they don't know it. They don't know who they are. And so they live lives beneath their place in the kingdom. It ought to make you want to run and talk to people about what He's done for me and what He's done for you. Because it's one thing for you to have connected with what He did for you, but you need to connect them with what He did for them. Who is this Jesus? He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible. That covers the full spectrum of life. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. If you see something in this world that's out of line, call it back into line under the headship and lordship of Jesus Christ. It was created for Him and through Him. He is before all things. Get this, and in Him all things hold together. Have you ever made this statement in your life? Well, it just looks like everything's falling apart. I don't know what's happening. Lord, help me. It's all falling apart. Well, get in Christ because He holds all things together. And whether that trial you're facing turns out good or bad, you being in Christ is your key to surviving it and thriving in the midst of it. In Him, all things hold together. My friend, Father Ken Tanner, at the convocation talked about the human God, the vulnerable God, the God that was big that became small, that here Jesus, in a manger made of wood, that He spoke into being and held together. The voice that called the stars and hung them in the sky became voiceless for us. That's so big, man. He is also the head of the body, the church, and He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Oh, that means there's a second born and a third born and a fourth born, and that's us, baby. Man, so that He Himself will come to have first place in everything. If you see a situation and it doesn't look like Christ is in the first place, put Christ in the first place in that situation. I don't understand what's going on in this relationship. Well, where's Christ in that relationship? What are you? Are you being Christ in that relationship? He needs to be first. Be Christ, okay? Get this, for it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in Him. Now, depending on the translation you're reading, it says the fullness of the Godhead. He's talking about the Trinity. The fullness of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, it dwelt in Jesus bodily. That's how He can sit there and say, no man has seen the Father, but the Son has revealed Him to you because He looks like me. I'm in Him and He in me, right? And I pray that you'll be in me and I'll be in you, just like I'm in Him and He's in me. The fullness of the Godhead. See, the Holy Spirit is who is in you right now, but Jesus is in you by the Holy Spirit. They're one. They're in union. That's the dance you've been called into. You have the relationship with the Father that Jesus does and the Holy Spirit does. And it's in you. There's no having to look for Him or seek Him out or tarry until you hear His voice. He's in there. Just listen. It was the Father's good pleasure for Him to have the fullness of the Godhead. And through Him, to reconcile all things to Himself. Here we go back to the story, right? The Father reconciled all things to Himself. Not just humanity, by the way. Creation. See, God created this place and called it good. Adam threw it away. Jesus redeemed it. The second Adam. The last Adam. Reconciling all things to Himself, having made peace through the blood of His cross. Through Him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven, and although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet He has now reconciled you in His fleshly body through death. Amen. Oh, come on. In order for why? Why did He do that? In order to present you before Him, holy and blameless and beyond reproach. If the first part's already happened, so has the second part. You've been presented to the Father, holy and blameless and beyond reproach. When the Father sees you, he sees Jesus, because you're in him. Now, if you wake up tomorrow and decide to not be in him, and you're going to, you know, cuss that person out at the subway or whatever, you know, Bishop talks about being at the airport in Africa and kind of getting a little aggro on the guy and then going back and apologizing. Oh, I don't believe we did this. I didn't do that, Chuck. That was all you. We're still us. God didn't want little robots with no decision-making power, right? Man, I had this experience on Sunday. I was telling Bishop about it, this word. I prayed he didn't call on me to give it because I would have just bawled. A couple of you in the room knew who Ashley Galuza was, Josh's wife that passed. Well, she was like my daughter. You know, she was Bishop Adler's granddaughter. And she was my daughter's best friend. And so she would spend all her time at my house, and my daughter would spend all her time at the other house. And so Bishop Adler pulled me aside one day and said, we're just going to have covenant over this. Yours is mine and mine is yours, and we're just going to care for each other's. And I said, yeah, amen. Ashley called me dad till the last time I talked to her before she died. Would call me to pray for her when she had to make decisions. We had a real special relationship. That car I'm driving is hers. I got it from her husband. So it was a real thing. So I was driving to church in the car, and I have her nickname. One of her nicknames was Scarlet. Bishop Adler used to call her Scarlet, and that was the license plate that was on the car when it lived in California. And so I had this sticker made that matches the paint, and it's on the dashboard. It says Scarlet. So I'm driving by myself, praying, coming to church Sunday. Look over, see Scarlet, and I'm just thanking God. I said, you know, it was such a blessing to have that time, to have that relationship. And I was commenting how it blessed me when she would call me dad. And the Lord said to me, well, duh, what do you think it does to me? See, he chose you. Oh, but it makes his heart sing when you choose him, when you call him Father. And not just Father, but Dad. That's the relationship. That's the relationship Jesus has with him. Man, that wrecked me. I made it for a great Sunday, but I was just like, you're right. If it makes me feel that good, how does it make you feel when I call you Dad? You've been presented holy and blameless and beyond reproach.
You know, she's here right now.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, I don't, I haven't lost her. I know where she's at.
Yes.
Every time we come to the altar. Yep.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
Lord. Hallelujah. Of this church, I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, so that I might fully carry out preaching the word of God. Jesus is the word of God. I only want to preach Christ and him crucified and him risen from the dead. That is the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to his saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom. That's what we were talking about earlier. Once you've got it, and it's not about attaining something or getting to a certain level, but once you get that revelation, when that blows up in you that you're in Christ and he's in you, and that is the basis from which you operate, that your next breath comes from that place, you want to tell people, you want to proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we present every man complete in Christ. There's a lot of people in this place I don't agree with. There's a lot of people in the world I just don't understand why they do what they do, except that they're deceived. And I got to trust that God will work that out. But I don't want them to go to hell. The worst person I've ever known to have done the worst thing to me ever, I still wouldn't want them to go to hell. No, no, no. Going back to that thing about the mansion, as good as a nice house would be, abiding in Christ is way better. Way better. Because I get that house now. I don't have to wait one glad morning and sweet by and by to enter into a dwelling place that he's prepared for me. No, I'm in that place now. I live from that place. And I haven't barely scratched the surface of how big and beautiful that place is. What did you just call it? The riches of the glory. Other places it calls the unsearchable riches of Christ. He is infinite in his goodness. We want that everyone be presented complete in Christ. And he closes out this chapter by saying, for this purpose also I labor, striving according to his power. Whose power?
The Lord's.
His power, which mightily works within me. Oh, man. Whew. Just that is amazing. He did it. He did it all because he loved you. We can only love him because he first loved us. Amen. That's good. I could just keep talking, but I'm not going to. I'll end it there. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.